Well, hello everybody and welcome to Live with Lon again. Happy Thanksgiving weekend to you. I trust your Thanksgiving day was a wonderful celebration with family and friends. I know you also probably saw people Thanksgiving Day or maybe even this weekend still who are relatives or friends and they don't know the Lord. So let's pray for them right now. And then we'll get back into our study of what do we study here? What is it? The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. Nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our lives. Okay. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that the people that we have seen this weekend, or maybe that we're still seeing even this day, people who are friends and relatives, neighbors, who don't know you. Father, we ask you to do a work of grace and conviction in their heart and to bring them to the place where they understand their need for Christ, where they understand the depth of their sinfulness before a holy God. And then, Lord, that they would listen to us or someone else who shares the gospel with them and give their hearts and lives to Christ. Father, I pray that we will have been good witnesses as the sap flowed through us this weekend and as it confronted and contacted their life, that they will have sensed that there's something very different about us, and of course that difference is you. And so, Lord Jesus, please use us this weekend and every weekend. We still have a big one coming for Christmas and New Year's. For your glory, help us to remember that without you, we can do nothing. So keep us connected to the trunk, to the sap, and keep a Lord, keep the channel clean between us and unfettered so that the Holy Spirit can flow without blockage through our lives. And we pray all of this and commit these people who need you desperately. We commit them to you, asking for your mercy for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right? Amen. Okay. Now, if you say, well, you know, Lon, honestly, I kind of let them get away Thanksgiving. I really, you know, maybe you didn't have a chance to say something. There just was no opening that the Holy Spirit made. It's okay. Or maybe there was an opening and you and I were too ashamed to take it. Well, that we need to try to correct if we can. We want to take those opportunities, but we want to take them with love and with sweetness, but we still want to take them with boldness. So maybe you're going to have another shot at Christmas or New Year's. So don't give up. You'll get your next shot in a few weeks. Let's make up our mind that if we get an opportunity then, we're going to use it. Or you know, I've many times gone back and said, hey, you know what? Remember a few weeks ago at Thanksgiving that we were talking about this or you made this comment this? I've been thinking about that and I thought there's something maybe I would love to share with you in light of that. And away you go. Yeah, okay. Well, praise the Lord. Let's pray that the Lord makes us good witnesses for him, even if it's nothing else than how he shines through us, because our channel is unclogged and the sap is flowing and the Lord is shining through us, even though we may not be sensitive to it. Let's get into the scripture now. John chapter 15, this wonderful in between, these four chapters in between the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus instructs his disciples, prays for his disciples, encourages his disciples, wonderful section of the scripture. And last week, very important passage and spiritual truth for our spiritual Christian life. We talked about how Jesus is the trunk, we are the branches, the sap is the Holy Spirit, and the only way the sap can flow through us is if we're connected to the trunk. So I hope if you missed that, gosh, I hope you'll go back and get that. I'm not sure there's a lesson for Christian living anywhere in the Bible more important than John 15, verses 1 to 5. Now, let's move on. Verse 6 today, New King James Version of the Bible. Here we go. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. We talked about this last week, how if you're a branch that is not connected to the trunk, and there's no sap flowing through you, then they trim you away, and you're worthless to the tree. So this is what Jesus is talking about. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, doing it for you, my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. All right, so here we have the issue of bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus come up in this chapter. And now Jesus is going to talk to this issue in the next few verses. As the Father loved me, verse 9, I have also loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. What a wonderful promise, that Jesus' joy should remain in us, and our joy should be full. You know, nowhere in the Bible are we ever commanded to seek happiness. We're commanded to seek joy, the Lord's joy, which right here, he tells us, how do we get it? We get it by abiding in him, being connected to the trunk, having the Spirit of God flowing through our life in fullness. That's how we get fullness of joy. It's his joy that we get an opportunity to participate in. Praise the Lord. Now, joy, the difference between joy and happiness is that happiness depends on our circumstances. You know, we're happy when everything's going great, and when it's not going great, we're not happy. Joy depends on our relationship with Christ. We have joy when the Holy Spirit is filling us. We have joy when the Holy Spirit is flowing through us. We have joy when we're filled with the Spirit because in our daily life because our sins are clean. Now, let me just tell you, I don't believe that we have to beg God to fill us with his Spirit. I believe the natural state of a Christian is to be filled with the Spirit. And if you and I don't do anything, listen to me now, this is important. If you and I don't do anything to mess that up, then being filled with the Holy Spirit will just happen. That's our natural state. That's equilibrium for us. But we can quench the Spirit, the Bible says. We can grieve the Spirit, the Bible says. We can clog up the channel between us and the Lord so that the filling of the Holy Spirit can't happen because we have unconfessed sin in our life. You say, well, Lon, I always have sin in my life. That's right. I said unconfessed sin. You say, well, I probably have that too. I'm sure you do. But listen, 1 John 1:9, let's put it on the screen. If we confess our sins, the ones that we're aware of, the ones that we are cognizant of, the ones that God has convicted us of that moment, that day. If we confess our sins, God is faithful, means we can count on him, and he's just to forgive our sins, the ones we confessed, watch, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The sins we didn't confess because we weren't convicted of them and we weren't aware of them, God will cleanse us from all of those in his sight if we will respond properly to the sins that we are aware of. Let me say that again. The sins that we are not aware of. God, listen, God doesn't show you and me all the sin in our life. If he did, we'd be so depressed, we'd go jump off a bridge. No, you know, I'm far more aware of the sins in my life now than I was 54 years ago when I came to Christ. God revealed some sins in my life then, but oh boy, ha! Today, 54 years later, I had no idea I was as sinful as I really am, and I'm sure if God showed me more sins than he has up to this point, and more sinfulness, I'd go jump off a bridge. So he doesn't do that. But if we respond properly to the sins he does reveal to us, then he credits that attitude to the sins, listen to me now, that we're, he has not made us aware of, that yes, we're guilty of, but he credits that attitude of responding correctly to the ones we are aware of to the ones we aren't. You understand what I'm saying? So when we respond and say, Lord, I'm so sorry I did this, Lord, please forgive me for that, and please forgive me for what I said here, and who, and when, and the way I looked at her here, and whatever, then he says, okay, and I'll clean the other stuff up that you're not even aware of, and I'll open the pipe, and I'll have free flow of the Holy Spirit. We'll go back to that condition. Now, when we got free flow of the Holy Spirit, then we're filled with the Spirit. And we don't have to ask for that. I mean, we should ask for it, fine. We don't have to work for that. We don't have to, you know, gut it out. No, that's the normal state of a Christian if they're not grieving the Spirit, if they're not quenching the Spirit, and if they don't have unconfessed sin blocking the channel. They will be filled with the Spirit. Are you with me? Yes? Okay. You know, I've had some real plumbing problems at my house over the last couple of years. My house was built in 1963, so it's got some old plumbing. It's got cast iron pipes in the for the sewer line and copper piping for all the house that, you know, 60 some years later, is starting to maybe to spring little tiny leaks, and I've had the sewer stopped up, and I've had tree roots growing in the sewer, and I picked the wrong profession. I should have been a plumber. Woo! Oh my boy! Oh my gosh! But I have a wonderful plumber. I do. He's a believer. He's a younger man. I love him like my son in the Lord. And his name's Bobby. And he's wonderful. He always comes. He prioritizes taking care of me and Brenda and our family. He's the best. He's the best. And, but man, you know, we've had some terrible problems. But one thing I've learned. When the sewer line is clean and open, the water runs naturally through it. I don't have to try to do anything. If we get the tree roots out, and we get the sludge out, and we get a sock out of it, or a towel out of it, don't ask. Don't ask. Don't even ask. Whatever. I don't know that I've ever had a towel in it. Or, I don't know. All kinds of stuff have been in my sewer line. When we get all that stuff out of there, as long as it's open and the water can get through it freely, the natural condition of my sewer pipe is to run water down through it, just like the natural condition of your heart and my heart as a believer is for the Holy Spirit to run through our life and dominate our life so long as there's nothing interfering with it. So, deal with the things that need to be dealt with. The sin in our life, the sin that grieves the Spirit, the sin that quenches the Spirit, the sin that clogs up the pipe because it's unconfessed sin. Get those things taken care of, the Spirit will flow in our life. And when the Spirit flows in our life, we'll talk more about this in a second, He will produce fruit. Let's go on here for a second. And He will produce joy. This is what David said in Psalm 51 when he said, Lord, I'm confessing my sin. Return to me the joy of my salvation. He didn't lose his salvation, but his sin caused him to lose the joy of his salvation. He didn't say, return to me, give me back my happiness. No, he said, give me back the joy of my salvation. And that's something that's produced by the Holy Spirit when He's filling the life of a believer, even if our circumstances are not perfect, even if they're bad, we can still have His joy, Jesus said. You'll have my joy if the Holy Spirit is full in your life. Now, let's go on. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I've made known to you. Look at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now this is twice that Jesus said, if you're abiding in me and being filled with me, then whatever you ask from the Father, he'll give you so that you can produce great fruit. Does that mean if you are abiding in the Lord and you ask for a Lamborghini, he'll give you one? Does that mean if you're abiding in the Lord and you ask him for a pair of Jimmy Choo shoes, he'll give them to you? Folks, if a Lamborghini is critical to your bearing fruit for the Lord, he'll give it to you. If Jimmy Choo shoes are, he'll give them to you. He's going to give you the things that enable you to bear fruit for him. And, listen, if you and I are really abiding in him and living close to him, we're not going to ask for things that are, as James says, just things we want to consume on our lusts. We're not going to do that. Why? Because we're walking close to the Lord. And we know that's just inappropriate. You with me? So this is based on the fact that you and I are going to be asking for things, because we're walking close to the Lord, that are both going to please Him and are going to help us bear much fruit. And those things He will give us, and we'll be asking for them because we're walking close to Him. With me? Okay. Now that's the end of the passage. So let's ask our most important question. Are you ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And as Jackie Gleason says, here we go. How sweet it is. Yeah. How sweet it is. What the Lord is saying to us here. What's the main thing that He's saying to us? Well, the main thing He's saying to us, there's a lot of little tangential side rails coming in here, but the main thing is verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And why did I choose you? I've appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. that your fruit should remain. Okay. When we come to Christ, why doesn't God immediately just take us to heaven? We're going to heaven anyway. So why doesn't he just quickly say, okay, God bless you. You've given your life to me. I've paid for your sins. Let's go. We're going to heaven. No. And the reason is right here. He chose us not just to go to heaven right away, but he chose us, the verse says, he appointed us that we should go and bear fruit for him here on earth until he's ready to take us to heaven. So that's why you're not in heaven right now, because he's still got fruit that he wants you to bear for him. And isn't this wonderful? We didn't choose him. I didn't go looking for him. Well, I mean, I was searching for an answer, but I wasn't really searching for the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and found me in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Yeah. And he chose me to come to Christ. We don't need to get into, you know, Calvinism and election and predestination and free will. He chose me. On what basis is up to him. He chose you. And he appointed you, once you got saved, and me, to do what? To live a life of luxury here on earth? No. To buy every creature comfort that we want here on earth? No. To pile up the most amount of money we could here on earth? No. To be the most successful lawyer, doctor, plumber, electrician, whatever, here on earth? No. He appointed us. He left us here to bear fruit for him. That's why you and I are still here. And when he's done with us, he'll take us to heaven. But right now, we're here to bear fruit for him. This is why. If a person is not bearing fruit for the Lord, something's wrong. I'm sorry, something's wrong. Either they're really not born again, or they're horribly backslidden and have sin that's completely clogged up the channel for the Holy Spirit to move in their life. But something's wrong. Because that's the reason he left us here. That's the reason he chose us. He appointed us to bear fruit. And I love it that our fruit should remain. It will be eternal fruit. Isn't that great? How sweet it is. Isn't that great? It's not just earthly fruit. It's eternal fruit in terms of changed lives and people come to Christ and ministry that brings glory to the Lord. It's the fruit remains. It's spiritual fruit. Yes. Now, what kind of fruit, you say, is Jesus talking about? Well, what do you mean, fruit? Well, there are two basic references to fruit in the Bible, in the New Testament. One is lifestyle fruit. Galatians chapter 5, let me show you this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, interesting, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit, which is supernaturally produced in us and through us by the sap of the Holy Spirit flowing in our life. We don't go out every day and try to gin up peace, long-suffering, faithfulness, gentleness, boop, and out pops gentleness. Boop, and out pops long-suffering. No. No, no. Listen to me. The energy of the flesh cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to me again. The energy of the flesh cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is spiritually produced and is supernatural fruit that flows from the inside out when the Holy Spirit is filling our life. And this has enormous impact on people. I remember when I first met Bob Eckhart in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and some of you have heard me say this before. I was searching desperately for some meaning and purpose in life and some something to take away the burden and the hole I was feeling in my heart, yes. And I had gone to Eastern religions and back to try Judaism and you name it. I tried it all. Hare Krishna, all this stuff. Drugs, LSD, psychedelics, all of it. But you know what? The first time I met Bob Eckhart was only for maybe, I was only close to him for maybe 15, 20 seconds. He helped pull my dog, Noah, big old 90-pound German Shepherd, 85 pounds, who was mauling this little dog right in front of him. I mean, it was, and we're trying to pull him with his collar off this dog. After we pulled him off, got him under control, this guy, I turned to this guy and I said, thank you. And he said, you're welcome. And I said, okay, well, gotta go. And he goes, okay. 15 seconds, we looked in each other's eyes. The minute I looked in that man's eyes, I mean the second I looked in his eyes, I knew he had what I was looking for. Say, how do you know it? Because it was shining out of him. I don't think he was aware that the Holy Spirit was shining out of him at that particular moment. Often we're not. But the Holy Spirit was just bright and beautiful through that man's eyes and his life. And you could just see it in his face. You could see it in his countenance. You could see it in his eyes. And you could sense it. And I walked away and I remember saying, you know what? That guy's got what I'm looking for. And that's what led me back to him. That eventually, a couple weeks later, led to him presenting the gospel to me. That eventually, a couple weeks after that, led me coming to Christ. Yes, it was the fruit of the Spirit, life fruit, lifestyle fruit, that was shining through his life. Friends, there's many times where you and I are completely unaware that the Lord is shining through us, but when we're filled with the Spirit and the sap is flowing and the channel is unclogged and we're not grieving or quenching the Spirit, we're giving off radiation, supernatural radiation. Do you understand what I'm saying? That we may not even be aware of, but people who are missing the fruit of the Spirit, who are missing supernatural joy, who are missing supernatural peace. Boy, they are aware of it because they feel it when they're around us. They feel their lack of it. They feel their deficiency of it. Are you with me? So that's the first kind of fruit we're talking about, lifestyle fruit. And the second kind of fruit we're talking about, the Lord's talking about, is ministry fruit, gospel work fruit. You say, what's gospel work fruit? Well, it's any time that we're out there serving the Lord and with the gospel. It can be open-air evangelism. It can be teaching a Sunday school class. It can be having devotions with our children. It can be leading a small group. It can be teaching from the pulpit. It can be leading a ministry in the church. It can be serving people at a soup kitchen. It can be anything that we are doing in the name of Christ, being a volunteer at Jill's house, anything in the name of Christ that we're doing to enhance the gospel, spread the gospel, enhance the work of God, spread the name of God, bring glory to the name of God. Yeah. The work of the gospel. So, we used to do turkey outreach at McLean Bible Church. And on the weekend before Thanksgiving, I think it was a Saturday we did it, the weekend before Thanksgiving, we would go out all over the Washington area with literally tens of thousands of turkey meals that we would serve. Well, I don't know the exact number. I think it was tens of thousands. It might have just been 8,000. I don't know, but it was a whole bunch of turkey. That's all I got to tell you. And we had potatoes in there. We had bread in there. And I don't know, I think we had green beans in there. But it was a whole box. It was like a meal for 6, 8, 10 people, more maybe. I don't know. And we would go out all over the city distributing these in the name of Jesus. Always putting a Gospel of John in the box. And having tracts ready to hand out. And looking to start conversations with people at the front door when they came to receive it. And we gave it to other organizations, but the deal was they couldn't have it and they couldn't distribute it unless the Gospel of John was in there. So as we went out into the city, Brenda and I went 1 year down into, I remember, a section of Washington, D.C. I believe it was Southeast, as I recall, and went door to door handing these boxes out. You know, I'm hoping that God will open a door for me to share Christ with these people. Now, that's gospel ministry. And he did open doors for our people all over the Washington area to share the Lord and for people to come to Christ. And that kind of impact is gospel fruit. You with me? And Jesus says, I want your fruit to remain. I want you to have gospel fruit serving me, and I want you to have lifestyle fruit, just living your life and letting the Holy Spirit witness through, shining through you. This is the kind of fruit we're talking about. Both kinds are supernatural, and both kinds are produced by the sap of the Holy Spirit flowing through our life. And both kinds of fruit is what the Lord appointed us to produce and to have it be spiritual fruit that remains. Are you with me? Now, back to my point earlier, if somebody's not producing that kind of fruit, there's something wrong. Jesus said that when he told the story of the soils in the parable, Matthew chapter 13. Look what he said. He talked about four different soils, and the last one was good soil, where the fruit sprouted and where salvation took place. And listen, verse 23, but he who received the seed on the good ground, the good soil, is the one who hears the word and understand it, who indeed bears fruit. Oh boy, look. And produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The point I want you to see is that people who are good soil and receive Christ and the seed takes root and they get born again, they produce fruit. Now, some produce 100-fold, some produce 60-fold, some produce 30-fold. Everybody doesn't necessarily produce the same amount of fruit, and that's okay. God will prune us, as we saw last week, to try to help us, as the years go on, produce more fruit. But the interesting part is, even though we don't all produce the same amount of fruit, here in Matthew 13, the Bible's clear. If you are good soil, if you are born again, you will produce fruit. Maybe 30-fold and somebody else produces 60-fold. That's okay, Jesus said. But everybody who's good soil produces fruit. So I want to challenge us in closing. Here's the point. You have not chosen Christ, but he has chosen you and ordained you, appointed you to go out and bear fruit for him. And that your fruit should remain and be eternal because it's spiritual fruit. So the question is, how are we doing on this? If there's not that inner drive to want to serve the Lord and produce fruit for Him in our life, something's wrong. If there's not that inner conviction to let the Holy Spirit flow through our life and have our life produce lifestyle fruit for Him, personal holiness fruit for Him, watch what we say with our mouth fruit for Him, patience, joy, long-suffering, the fruit of the Spirit, if that's not in coming from the inside out in our life, something's wrong. Something is wrong. And in my opinion, if you think you're a believer and this is wrong in your life, then I would suggest strongly that we need to pay attention to this and figure out what's wrong. Either we're so blocked up with unconfessed sin and doing things that don't agree with the Bible and please the Lord that the Holy Spirit can't flow, or probably more likely, we're not born again. We might have walked an aisle and we might have thought we were saved, but friends, if there's no passion to produce fruit, even 30-fold fruit, sorry, something's not right. So, this is why in 2 Corinthians, the last chapter, chapter 13, the Apostle Paul says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, help us examine our hearts and be really honest with ourselves. And if there's not that passion to produce fruit for You, both in our personal lifestyle, fruits of holiness, personal holiness, and biblical obedience, and there's not a drive to produce fruit in our service of the gospel that honors You, Lord, and that helps change people's lives for You, if we don't have that, Lord Jesus, help us to take a really hard look at the man in the mirror, at the woman in the mirror, and if necessary, Lord, we need to repent and come to Christ. Or maybe it's sin in our life. Whatever, help us take a hard look at the man or the woman in the mirror. Lord, may the Holy Spirit help us be really honest with ourselves. Examine yourself, Paul says, to see that you're in the faith. And if not, we need to get in the faith with a full surrender of our heart and life to the Lord Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said what? Amen and amen. And for those of us who are in the faith and we know it, let's have a real passion. Let's kindle that passion afresh to produce fruit for the Lord Jesus. Not money, not fame, not fortune, not possessions, but fruit for Christ. That's why He chose us, and that's why we're still here. So let's go for it. God bless you. Lord willing, see you next week on Live with Lon.